can worship you, Lord. Thank you for communion, for, yes, Father God, for everything, that we can just stretch our hands to you and worship you, Father God. And Father, that we can know this morning that we are not on our own, Lord God, but that your Spirit guides us, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you'll open our hearts now, that we can listen, Father God. And thank you for preparing the soil this morning, Father God, as Marius did the offering, Francois, the communion, Father God. Thank you for blessing them, Father God, and really that you were speaking to all of us in that, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that it will not just be something for this Sunday morning, Father God, but for every day of the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just one or two announcements. As you all know by now, the youth isn't here. It's an out weekend, so we miss them, but we will see them here next week again. And then I just want to, Danielle, she's going to move on. She's going back to Swakopmund. She isn't here. She's off this weekend. But you know that we advertised this, the position of the secretary to the church, and the new person, West School, I saw her here this morning. She's inside looking at the babies. Okay, sure. So she's already a faithful servant there. But Skola will be the new person in the office then. There will be a handover period in November, when Danielle will just teach Skola one of the, let's say, all the tricks of the trade and how to do all the things. But there will be, when Danielle's back, we will just bless her and send her and thank her for everything she did, because she really was a blessing to us here in Windhoek. Okay, guys, God is so wonderful. God is so faithful, you know. I know most of you know by now that I've got Fridays is my day off, and then Saturday is my Sunday in a sense, so my week looks a bit different. And usually on a Monday, you know, when church is finished, and Sunday is almost like a highlight of my week, definitely, and I hope so for you guys. And most Mondays, then I start to pray and I ask God, Father, please show me what I should preach on this next Sunday. And then through the week, through various means and ways, God will speak to me, and He's so faithful. But always I trust and I hope and pray in my heart that, Father, please, Thursday afternoon when I leave the office, I really would love my sermon to be finished. And you know what? I don't know of 1 week the past year and three quarters that it was like that. Always, it's for some reason, maybe, I don't know if it's me or what, but always, it only starts maybe many times I must say on Tuesday mornings at intercession, God truly shows us many things, and that's wonderful. But for some reason, I'm always over the weekend, I need to work on my sermon, especially Saturday evening and Sunday morning, and now it's become like a part of my life. And this past week, I was again, God, when I leave Thursday, please, that 75% of my sermon will maybe on paper or in my heart or anything like that, that I can just lay back and relax. I think it's human. I think some of you maybe think so as well when you leave the office Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, that this no worries or no nothing on your mind, and that you can just, you know, enjoy the weekend and spend time with your friends or family or whatever it might be. So Thursday was coming, and I had nothing on my heart. I hadn't had a clue, and throughout the day, you know, I was praying and asking God, now, okay, you know, Sunday, it's me in the pulpit, so what will it be? And I really felt nothing, but the wonderful thing is, like, 2 years or 5 years ago, I'd really freak out or stress and think, like, what will it be? Maybe even try to Google something on the internet, but that doesn't work, of course. And, you know, what I want to start off by is last Saturday, as I shared I'm just going to interrupt myself quickly. I just want all of you to know, because this is worth testifying of. Where's Tani Blanche? Can you stand for just 1 second for those who don't know who you are? Her daughter, you know the testimony she gave last week about God providing financially for her daughter to go to South Africa? Her daughter got a gold medal at a... at the gymnastics in South Africa, and that's just to me the cherry on the top. You know, God really provided in sending her there, and she shared in the front how things work, and for me that's just so wonderful that God provided, and so Blanche, we're together with your family, we're very proud of Luxani, and I'm sure your smile is even bigger, but I just thought that's so wonderful how God provided and that she could go there. But back to last week, as I shared last week, my Vorzon died last week Saturday, and it was quite bad because when we got her, now you're thinking this morning, I hadn't had a sermon and I'm talking nonsense, but I'm going somewhere with this, I promise you. And it was really bad because when we got the little dog, she was thin and she's got worms and bronchitis and she was really sick. And, you know, I had to take her to the vet and a little back. But she grew into such a beautiful dog and she really blessed us for 3.5 years and she was part of the family. And when I took her to the vet and the vet said, no, there's nothing we can do. We have to put her out. It was really bad to me. As if you've got pets or animals, you'll know it's really bad or sad when they die. And I was standing there, and when I went home and I digged the hole, I was crying. It was bad, embarrassing, but only Alvin was standing there, and he wasn't having, you know, he didn't understand completely. But, you know, I was standing there, and as I was digging the hole, I was just praying to God about a lot of things that went through my mind and my heart at that time, and I was just praying for my family and their protection and etc. And then throughout the week, I just felt I should read Revelation and about the seven seals and the six trumpets, or other way around, and I just about the things to come. And I think God just stirred something in my heart, but I didn't have, you know, didn't know what I was supposed to preach on. And then Thursday afternoon, a friend of mine, when we were in South Africa, in Stellenbosch, when I did the ministry training program, made friends with a guy that did it together with me, and he's in Paul. And then his mum phoned me, and she said, but I knew she was here in Windhoek, and she said, but her sister is now very sick, she's got terminal cancer, and she just asked me if I'm available, and if I maybe could come by and just maybe spend some time with the lady. And when she said it, I said, yes, definitely fine, I will come. But there was also something in my heart just resisting. Because about 14 years ago, my mom died of cancer when I was still young. And it was quite a bad experience to me, losing my mom in that way. You know, it wasn't like a motor car accident, something that just happened. It was over a lot of months, and she got sicker and bad and all those type of things. So there, I had bad memories, and I remember standing here, and I spoke to Danielle, and I told her, and I told her, please pray for me, you know. And the wonderful thing is I went there, and I just want to share it with you. And I went just to bless or to serve. And afterwards, I was the one that received the blessing. And that was the same thing we spoke on last week. You know, just going to give, I left there being blessed. And I'll tell you why. Because I spoke to the lady, and first me and her and her sister, we were just talking about the rain that afternoon. And this was an Afrikaans, quickies and coffees and things like that. And then this healthy sister asked if she can go make tea. And then the sick lady, now I must tell you this, she's really sick. She's 60 years old, and she weighs, I think, 32 kilograms. So she's really just skin and bone. She's really very weak, and I really think she's at the end in that stage. But guys, do you know the thing that just were birthed in my heart? And you know how content she was in her relationship with Jesus Christ. I was worried about what I will see there. But you know, when she started speaking to me about, you know, let's put it this way, her last days, she was so full of the Lord, and she was so weak in her body, but her spirit was so strong. And I could see that she didn't fear. Maybe there was one or two things in the natural, leaving her family behind and things like that. But concerning eternity and concerning her relationship with Jesus Christ and what's to come, she actually couldn't wait to go. And it blessed me so much when we prayed together. She prayed, you know, she prayed from her side and I prayed for her. And it really blessed me so much just to see where she's at. And I think the worst thing would be to be in that situation and sitting there and asking questions about God and who he is and things. That must be very bad. But she had such a peace in that room that when I walked out there and I spoke to her sister, when we stood outside, I just said to her, it's just amazing to me. And it actually blessed me so much just to see her there. And then I started praying about this, and this is the sermon I feel I just quickly want to share on with you. But I want you to see this morning what Maria said, what Francois said, what we sang. See it as a whole. This is not just a something. This is it actually is intertwined into the rest of the things. And it's wonderful. Now, when someone dies that's really close to you, you know, when someone you don't know dies, then it's sad, you know, you don't know what happened or something like that. But when someone close, someone, maybe a family member, someone you worked with, dies, then I think most of us, just for a moment, come to a standstill and just reflect on that and about the circumstances, and maybe I usually do about that person's relationship with God. And it's a good time to just sit still and ask ourselves a few questions. Now, I just want to tell you that what I'm preaching on this morning, it's not I don't want to scare you or anything. It's out of a place of love. And also, it's not as much for us as it is for other people. I actually want to preach it for us that we can take it out there. It's not something that it's only for me and for you sitting here. It's something I want all of us to really go and live out in the week to come. Okay, I want to start off by reading to you from Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn from this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Now Jesus is speaking here to us, and he's giving us like a very good example, and he's telling us something, and we should really take it very seriously. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came, and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. Now, I'm sure you can see how I link that to what I experienced during the past week. Many times when I was younger, I thought that I'd always had this picture. Say, for instance, you know, when at school or somewhere we watched a DVD of saints being persecuted, then I thought, if someone stands with a gun to my head and say, "Do you love Christ?" I'll just say no, and then later I will repent, and hopefully God will forgive me, and then the guy won't shoot me, and everything will be fine. But I won't do it now. I don't think so. I really don't think so. But the thing is, we know that Jesus is coming back, and he's saying there, watch therefore. And he started off by giving us a little small parable where he says he's talking about the fig tree, and when you see the new leaves coming, as we can see all around us currently, then we know it's summer because we see everything is blossoming. Now, we should understand this as well. And it ends off in verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. Now, this morning, I know most of you sitting here quite well, and I know where your hearts are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But do you know people around you, not in the building physically, but in society in Windhoek, that is not ready? Do any of you know people like that? I know a few people. Most of you, I'm sure, know people like that, that we know aren't ready. Maybe you've got people you are praying for and trusting God really to touch their hearts and that they will come to Him in salvation. But the problem is, when Jesus has come and you aren't ready, I think then it's a bit late. Then it's going to be a bit late, because Jesus gives us this warning. He says, watch, be ready. And he uses this analogy that if it were like a thief in the night, if you know the thief would come at 3:15 at night, that time when Francois was lying awake, then he will be ready for that thief, I'm sure of it. But if you are sleeping, you won't be ready. Now, all of us must be ready. And this message, as I said, it's more for the people that we know that aren't ready than for us. Amen? Okay? So I want all of us to make it our own, almost like the Holy Spirit must brand it in our hearts, like when you stamp a kettle, or what's the correct word, or you mark it maybe, but that we should have that heart for the people out there. I call the name of the sermon, what about the man down the street? Does he know? Okay? And that's the heart this morning. Now I want to continue to John 5, verse 22 to 29. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, this is not that good deeds will save you, but if you know Jesus Christ, then you will do good deeds. So this is meaning that Hitler and Stalin and Michael Jackson and all those guys before us, big names that has passed away, every one of us will be awakened and we will stand before God. And that day, as Scripture says, then if you, for those who have done evil, there will be condemnation. But if you had a relationship, you were born again with Jesus Christ, then there will be life for you. Now, guys, this is the thing I want to... We know Christ. Most of you, I'm sure all of us sitting here this morning, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, up till now, then we're going to have an opportunity at the end where I would love to pray with you this morning, because it's something important. You can't leave this building not knowing. In the past week, I opened an account and someone from the bank wanted to see me, and you know, they always want to sell a few things, and he talked to me about life insurance, and he said the same thing to me from the natural. He said, we don't know when you're going to die, okay? So be ready. You must also plan financially. Now it's a spiritual thing. We should all plan spiritually. That's the first thing. That's the first priority. But guys, I want to throw it out there to all of us to really have an earnest something in our hearts for those people we know around us that doesn't know Christ. Good. Now I want to just to quickly speak a little bit on why we shouldn't fear. Because I remember when I was small and I started to hear these things, or younger maybe, and I didn't know exactly how everything fits to each other. I thought like, God is coming, and judgment, and hell, and heaven, and maybe you sit here this morning and you're a little bit scared. Like Francois said, you know, Jesus Christ died for all our sins, and maybe you're sitting here, and the devil is continuously saying to you, but remember what you did last week. Remember what you said here, or that thing you did or thought, or maybe whatever it might be, and he's still condemning you. And I want to encourage you this morning to quote Scripture back at him, not to accept that, to really pray on that, and to protect yourself, that the devil will not come to steal, kill, and destroy, because he loves it when we operate from a place of fear, because then he's got such a bigger foothold in our lives. I want to read to you from 1 John 4, from verse 15 to 19. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Okay? So that's something I want us to take home. It's something that I want you to know, and I just want us to just look into it a little bit, and just to understand it a little bit, that you can maybe, if there's something or someone at work or in your family that you know is battling with this thing, and you know that person is very unsure about his relationship with Christ or where he or she is standing, maybe you can even go and pray with that person, or just read it to him or her, and I really trust that it will help. Now, if we look at verse 17, we can see, according to verse 17 to 18, there is a way to approach the day of judgment with fearless confidence. No one who is willing to follow John's teaching need to be frightened at this approach of death. Now, for me, it was really a reality. As I was there Thursday afternoon, and I was looking at that old lady sitting or lying in a bed, and I could see she was very weak. And I, going there, on my mind, I thought maybe she might be frightened, or maybe she's scared, or anything. And as I testified now, she was so solid. She was so sure of her relationship with Jesus Christ. Now that's the foundation to live from. You know, if we have to be afraid all the time of what might happen to your car outside as we are sitting here, or your kids, or your work, or your finances, or your job, you know, life is going to be very bad. Because as that old thing says, bad things do happen to good people, but I don't want to say it in a negative way. We are the children of God, and we don't have to be scared. But some or other day, if Jesus doesn't come back in the next 60 or 80 years, then most of us will die, because we will be close to 100, or those of you who are younger will also be older people, and that's just a natural course that the generations before us has also taken. Sometime your day will come. Now let's look here in 1 John 4 what we can learn from this. I just want to break up verse 17 into three parts. The first is, in this is love perfected with us. The second, I hope it's up there, then you can read it with me, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. And then last, let's call it the third part, because he is so. Okay, let's read it again. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's referring to Jesus Christ. If we are like him and we are his sons, then we won't be judged, or his sons or his daughters, because Jesus is going to do the judging one day. It's been all given to him. Now I want us just to look a little bit at what is perfected love. What is perfected love? In this is love perfected with us. Now what does this refer to? And to understand that, we should just go to the sentence before that to understand. And that is, the words just before it say, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us. So I would take the this, you know, that it referred to our abiding love in God. Are you all with me? Amen. Okay, now let's continue. By putting God's love, now this is also, in 1 John you can see, this is almost the theme of the book. John is writing here to us that we can understand this, that we just shouldn't know there's a day of judgment and we don't have a clue what it's going to be about. Since all the old prophets, they have been prophesying about how, about Jesus that will come and that he will die on the cross, and many of them has also prophesied about the day of the Lord that will come. And from so many writers, we can see that. Now, in view of what we have seen now about perfected love, how is it that we gain confidence for that day of judgment? And the answer is by putting God's love into action for other people. By putting God's love in action for other people. And that is almost what we talked about last week, about serving, about, you know, about giving. And Maurice so wonderfully said this morning, you know, about the seeds we sow, whether it's an apple tree or an orange tree. And that's wonderful. We don't gain confidence because we are sinlessly perfected in the way we love. We don't gain confidence by being sinlessly perfected. We gain confidence by putting our money where our mouth is. Now, if we know we are doing the will of God, Jesus said we should go, we should make disciples of the nations, we should baptize them and love them and teach them the things that he did to us. So, I say this morning, I'm talking to you and to me, to all of us, but I want us to receive this message, not to understand just salvation and new birth and judgment, but that we should understand it and it should be in our hearts for the people around us. That it should be an outward-focused something that we received this morning. Now, I can also go and say, in other words, the way to have confidence before God in the day of judgment is to love each other with the perfected love of God. That is, love that doesn't just talk, but turns into deeds. Now, all of us know that some of you bring your offerings, and we bring clothes to the church, and the small groups have an outward focus, and you go to the hospitals, or you know the testimonies of the car guards that were blessed with hot dogs. And I think we need to step up that gear again and just get that a little bit more right again in our hearts. But it's not just something that's happening from church. It should be something that's happening in our hearts and spirits every day during the week. If we just open our hearts and our eyes And you, as I said last week, if you look, and I actually had experienced it in the past week, when I was standing in a queue, I had to go to the bank once or twice, and I was standing there, and I was seeing an older person standing behind me, and just humbling myself, and I was actually in a hurry, and I thought, like, must I do it right now? And just asking that person, would you like to go before me? Because she was actually standing there, and I mean, I'm younger, I could stand maybe a bit longer. But just to get that thing right in our hearts, because as I said last week, when we look at our own problems, our own challenges, then many times our focus gets so into our own lives. But the moment when you're standing in the queue and just not worrying about me and my time and what I do, and just looking maybe at someone behind you in the queue, and that's just a very all-day normal type of example, and just having that outward focus, then things change so much. And that's why I said, and I sincerely mean it from my heart this morning, when I was driving there Thursday afternoon, and I thought, like, oh God, I'm a bit scared, and I really pray for wisdom. Maybe she will ask difficult questions that I don't want to talk about because maybe it's a bit fragile in my heart. But you know, guys, as I said, the blessing was mine. When I left there, I saw something of Christ that was so wonderful. And I believe that I want all of you guys, all of us, when we lay at bed at night, not to worry about our salvation, not to stress about it, and to have confidence for the day of judgment. She was talking to me and she was sharing about she's looking forward, you know, to see Jesus Christ and heaven and all those things. And I just thought, like, yo, it's really beautiful to me. But guys, the thing that I want us to walk out here with this morning, and I wish I could give all of you a sticker, me included, that when you see something, someone in the week, and you know that person doesn't know the Lord, I don't know, maybe Jesus is coming tonight, or maybe in 50 years' time, I don't know. But it must be bad if we know someone, if we should really pray then for that person, or for an opportunity. Many times, we are so scared to offend someone, and maybe talk to him about something that's uncomfortable, and you know, will this disrupt his or her life a little bit. But that's really what we should do. That's the command that Jesus has given to us. Okay, then I'm going to skip a little bit here, a little part this morning. I want to quote this part from John Piper. I actually read it, and it was really amazing. He paraphrased this sentence. And I just want to read it to you, if we can say it in, let's say, normal words. Well, not normal words, maybe just a little bit easier. And that is, to sum up verse 17, we can paraphrase like this. When you love each other with a love that is more than just talk, when the love of God reaches its practical goal of action in your life, you will experience a deep and unshakable confidence before God. Much talk of love with few deeds of love destroy assurance. Now, I just want to pause there, and that's why it's so important when at the end of December you look back through the year, your last testimonial or milestone shouldn't be, say, in March. That shouldn't be the last time then you have done something good. I mean, it's something we should live from a place like that. That love for people must be in our hearts. We all experience this from time to time. Our conscience condemns us because we think of deeds of love and don't do them. Many times, it happened a few times in my life when afterwards I had to think back and say, oh, stupid Carl, you should have done this. You should have stopped and just talked to that person. I could have seen the need or the hurt in that person's eye, or maybe just going an extra mile and asking someone how you are, you know, or how are you doing, or how's your family, and many times people will respond, but our hearts must be open for that. Then God can use us. But if we are like a thing on autopilot, just going from point A to B, then many times you are too rushed or you don't have time. But by those blessings, someone in church, you know, said to me, you know, we've got a men's small group on Wednesday mornings, 6:15. All of you are invited, by the way, which are men, whether you're young or single or married, it doesn't matter. And I really feel that there's a momentum starting there and there's intercession. And then he said to me, but can't we have another early morning? Because it blesses him so much if we can start the day the right way, by coming together, having fellowship, and actually the past week we also had communion. And there was such a blessing, because yes, the day will still be difficult, but there's a difference in having spent that hour together, fellowshipping together and spending time with Christ, than not having it. Amen? Okay, then I went through something that I tried to read so much on as possible when I was a young Christian, because it just baffled me. I couldn't understand it in the first few months, although I experienced it when I was a young Christian, and that was being born again. I don't know, was that something difficult to some of you as well? Not much. Okay, for me it was quite difficult because I was 22 years old and I couldn't understand why no one explained it to me before. Because no one ever told me, you have to be born again. You are actually spiritually dead and you must become spiritually alive. Now I'm going to read the very famous part that I think most of you will know from John 3 verse 3. I actually want to read to you a little bit more than that. Just quickly want to get a place in my Bible. John 3 verse 3. I want to read you from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Okay, so he's a ruler, he's a Jew, he's a Pharisee, he knows a lot about all the customs, the to-do list, everything you must do. And now he's speaking to Jesus, he came to him at night, and then I think Jesus maybe could have thought like, wow, at least this guy is seeing a bit of light. In all of Palestine, I wish all the Jews could see that I'm a rabbi, I'm the guy doing the miracles. But you know what Jesus said to him in verse 3? He didn't say that. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus must have thought like, what is this guy talking about? Because he was acknowledging Jesus' authority, you know, man sent from God, and he could see all the miracles that he's doing, but now he's saying to me, I must be born again. And then in verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Okay, and then he continues, but I just want us to focus on that part. And I read it many times, and I still remember that day on the 24th of October 2002 when I was born again. You know, before that, I was spiritually dead. I did try to have a relationship with Jesus, and I read scripture, and some things I understood, and many other things I didn't, but I also know what the fruits of my life was at that stage of my life. And it changed a lot. And I wish I could give all of us, all of you guys sitting here this morning, just a mic for a minute or two and just testifying about what happened in your life before you were born again and after you were born again. You know, at that stage in my life, becoming a pastor, it wasn't part of my dreams, my thoughts, my anything. But slowly as I started to grow and got to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit, things started to change in my life until I'm standing here today. So I want to read you also, maybe I'll just put it this way, but it always happens through the, okay, being born again happens through the gospel, I just want to say that, but it always happens through the word of God. If we listen to 1 Peter 1 verse 23 and 25, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the abiding word of God. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. You know, we are born of spirit. And then, if I can just read it to you also, maybe some of you might be still battling or wondering about this. I really want to encourage you, when we schedule the next Foundation 1, you can really come and listen to that. There's a lot more detail on how these things work, and baptism and the Holy Spirit. There's really, I think, 3 or 4 hours on that, and then you can understand it so much more. But that's the important thing that all of us should understand this morning. Also, if we read in Luke 9, verse 60, there Jesus was speaking to the man who wanted to be put of following Jesus so that he could go and bury his father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. You know, so you can actually be alive, you can see and taste and smell, but you can be spiritually dead. You agree with me? I mean, and that's a very sad place to be. Because if you are at that place this morning, and I'm sure you can see now this morning what I want to just speak to us about, is if you're at a place we can work and have a marriage and have kids and walk around and do many things, but you are spiritually dead, then you must actually be very, very afraid or very worried. Because then you're going to be thinking the whole time, when the day of judgment comes, I have to keep my fingers crossed and hopefully I would make it. Now, that's the place where we don't want people to be. That's the place where I don't want to be. That's the place where I don't want you guys to be. And that's the place where I pray that God should stir it in our hearts that we don't want our friends to be. I had a friend that in the past weeks came. We invited him for a braai and we spent much time as possible with him. And I know if I can, he's a rough diamond in that sense, but he's 26 or 7 and he's having an adrenaline-filled life. The cat has got 9 lives and I think he used up 3 of his already. But the sad thing is, I know he's spiritually as dead as that chair because it's not part of his life. But what I know is he has seen something in me and Maritza, in our marriage, in our the way we're raising our kids, in the way we talk, the things we do, and the things we don't do. And I know when we met him 2 years ago, I know that he wants that. It's just a challenge for him to get there. And I'm really praying for him that he can get to a place that whenever he is laying on a sick bed and he knows the end is near, that he can have that boldness, that confidence in Jesus Christ, that he will be looking forward to what is to come and not lie there in fear and anguish of what might happen and maybe crossing his fingers and thinking, I hope I made it and I've done enough, because that's not the things that's going to carry us through. Okay. In other words, what matters is not merely affirming the supernatural in Jesus, but experiencing the supernatural in yourself. The new birth is supernatural, not natural. And when I made that note, that was just referring to Nicodemus was standing there, and he was spiritually dead, you know. But he could see the miracles Jesus did. He could see everything. He could maybe not understand it, but he saw it, you know. And the thing is, it's something supernatural. When you're born again or new birth, that's something that happened in your heart. And I know so many of you, and I know many of your testimonies. You know, and it's wonderful, as I said, if we can give each other a chance and just share on that and testify on that. Many times we preach and we talk about facing the storms and this and that. But I think, guys, I want to challenge you this morning to go back to that place of your salvation, that place where you started to walk with Jesus Christ, and just to revisit it almost, and just to think and experience again what Jesus did in your heart, and then ask the Holy Spirit to fill you to a place where you can have a passion in your heart, not just to live in the things around you, but to really have that outward focus and to have a concern and almost a father's heart for the people that you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Because, as I said, it really blessed me so much when I was there Thursday. And I know I'm saying it now for the third or the fourth time, but just to see that confidence in that lady, it was really, and you know, I thought, hey, God, must I pray for her, maybe for a miracle to happen, for her to be healed? And I just felt, when I left there, I just had such a peace in me that we pray together and she knows where she's going, and that's almost like a full stop. So can I ask all of you to stand with me this morning, please? As the worship team is now going to the stage and are slowly going to start playing this morning, and I can, again, I just want to ask all of you to just close your eyes just for a few minutes, just that you can seriously focus inward now. And I trust that God is speaking to all of you this morning. And, you know, I know that this message will mean different things to different of you. It will be something different that you take home this morning. But, guys, I want really to speak to all of us and say, please let it not be just a Sunday morning between 10 and 11 thing. Let it be something that we really take out in the week and the weeks to come, that it will be something that will be burning in our hearts. As I put the title of the sermon, that it will be something that we will wonder about a man down the street. Does he know? Does he know? Have someone told him ever that he must be born again? Must he be spirit-filled? Have someone told him about Jesus Christ? Many times we're assuming or we're hoping someone else would have done it. But guys, let's take that thing on our shoulders. Let us start to pray for that. Let us take that first step and approach someone like that if you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you. Jesus said that is what we should do. So as all eyes are closed this morning, if there are any of you here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you think that if you were to die right now, you must keep your fingers crossed and just hope for the best, that maybe you would make it, maybe your good deeds will outweigh the bad ones. If you think like that and you really are not comfortable, if you're not sure if you have a testimony about Jesus Christ that has saved you, if you don't have met Jesus personally, as all eyes are closed this morning, I want you to raise your hand. You can just raise one of your hands, and it's not for me to see. It's just something that you're going to say before God. If there's anyone like that here this morning, I'm just going to give a moment or two. I know that the Holy Spirit would have been speaking to you this morning. I just want to urge you to respond to that this morning. And then secondly, if you are not sure if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you never prayed for that, if you never asked for that, if you're not sure exactly how it works, I want to ask you this morning also, as with the first call this morning, I want to ask you, if you're not sure if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to respond now by just raising your hand. I just want to see if there's anyone like that here this morning. And then thirdly, if there's anyone in the house this morning and you maybe battle with that thing of what's going to happen when you die, what about your children, your finances, or maybe just about your own life, will it be of suffering, will it be hurting, are you sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ, if there's anyone here this morning that has any type of fear or something you're not sure about this morning about your salvation, that when that day of judgment is coming, that you don't have to stand fingers crossed, if there's anyone here this morning, I would also, together with the first two calls, if there's anyone this morning, I would like to, as we're going to start to worship now, I want to ask you to come to the front. I would really love to pray with you and just bring that before God this morning. Amen. We are going to worship now together, friends. If there's any one of you who needs any type of prayer, I really want to invite you to come to the front. I would love to pray with you. But I want to also ask you something. As we are worshiping now, worship God for your salvation. You know, it's not something that man can do. It's something that God does in us. It's something that God does in us. And it's something very, very important and special. And just speak to God about that. Just thank Him for saving you from the cross. That it's not me and you that have to hang on that cross, but Jesus did it in our place. He was the ransom. Amen.
Church, can we just stand and please just raise our hands, just worship God. Then we can just say thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you. many crowns, you reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Week, I've always been having this vision. I'm sure all of us have watched The Passion of the Christ. There's this part where Jesus with a crown, the crown of thorns, and is carrying the cross, and then he falls on the ground, and the blood that is